Blog Talk Radio.
Let it be Christmas everywhere, in the hearts of all people, both near and afar. Christmas everywhere. Feel the love of the season wherever you are. Small country roads lined with green mistletoe. Big city streets where a thousand lights glow. Let it be Christmas everywhere. Let heavenly music fill the air. Let every heart sing. Let every bell ring. A story of hope and joy and peace. And let it be Christmas everywhere. Let heavenly music fill the air. Let anger and fear and hate disappear. Let there be love and laughter there. And let
Hi, folks. Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda. I'm coming at you again from Oceanside, California, with a whole bunch of craziness going on in my mouth because I was 4 hours in the dental chair yesterday, and it was no fun. We are brought to you by PatriotFamilies.com. That's www.PatriotFamilies.com. Please join our site. At least come look around and enjoy that. And we want to thank Hollis for those the privilege. I'd like to see him back on the air one of these days. Yes, I was a mess when I got home, and I felt so bad about not being able to help Bill. I couldn't get to a phone. I couldn't get to anybody because they told me it was going to be a two-hour deal, and it turned into a four-hour deal. So I felt really bad, but I did email Bill Strong and explained what happened. So hopefully in his beautiful Christian heart, he will forgive me. I'm sure he will. Lots going on today. Welcome guest 7629. And yes, Rod, my kind of music, that particular piece by Alan Jackson is one of my favorites. And I'll be playing Christmas music throughout the season. And I know I sound funny, but they pulled three of my permanent teeth yesterday. So I get this weird little bridge in my mouth. And so it's kind of crazy. But welcome, everyone. Welcome, Rod. Thank you for joining me. And hopefully others will come in soon. I have shortened it to an hour because I don't know, even with my Motrin and my wine, how long the pain will be happening. So much going on. Yesterday, which I emailed Mike from the hot seat, I could have sworn, and I'm pretty sure it was because I wasn't totally attentive on Mark Levin's show, and I think Mike got through and talked to him, and it sounded just like him. So it was awesome. He got to ask Mark Levin some questions. Hey, FT, thanks for joining us. But he'll probably, hopefully will join us later or check this in archives and email me back and let me know what's going on. There was so much going on this week besides all my dental nonsense. We had a meeting last week, which I left early because I wanted to speak in public, which I did. I had 3 minutes to talk in front of city council. And before I get to that, I want to go back to what I had emailed to everyone. And I know that I gave a good report to Mike from the hot seat by email saying we won because we all got together and we called the switchboard and told our senators to vote against CRPD treaty, which would take away the rights of the parents in this country for their kids that may have special needs or disabilities. And it overwhelmingly, we did it. We actually won that battle, so I was very happy with that. And it was kind of fun to listen to my... Rod says, I hope I can be as tough. Can't have a female show me up. Yeah, right. Anyway, trust me, Rod, you're right there with us. You know, you're a good patriot, so I'm not worried about these things. I do believe I have Mr. Robert on the line. Welcome, sir. How are you doing from Florida?
I'm doing fine, Ms. Lynn. How are y'all doing?
Oh, my gosh. I got so much to talk about, so I'm going to try to get to it. Welcome, guest 7676 and everyone in the chat room. Welcome, Robert. I did get to speak to my city council because what they were doing, we had an election November 6th in the city council. Mayor Jim Wood, which I worked very tirelessly to help him get reelected. He won by a 2-1 margin. the others didn't even come close. Basically, it's just been amazing. We've had so much contention in the city of Oceanside. And so now the three clowns who are rhinos, I call them because that's what they are, who are pushing, they're all in bed with these big developers, and they're so stupid that they don't even know that they're fomenting Agenda 21 because they've probably never even heard of it, but they're going to because as soon as I get a little better this week, I'm going to try to go Friday or whatever day, maybe even I have to put it off till Monday, but I put together a package which I pulled together from Mary, who knew that I was trying to fight these people and explain Agenda 21 and ICLEI and all the smart growth and all this garbage that's coming down the pike. And I'm hearing this nonsense today on the radio about the ice melting in, I think it was Greenland, and now that the global warmers are going to have a field day. I'm sure Al Corleone's just going to be jumping up and down on this one. And it's just enough to make anyone just lose their cookies. So going back to the meeting, what happened was the three rhinos wanted to take the mayor's power away regarding SANDAG. Now, SANDAG is San Diego and Government Agency. It's another one of those non-governmental agencies, very similar to what's going on in all different areas of the coast here and all over the country, where they, like CARB, California Air Resources Board. SANDAG is the transportation era or portion of this nonsense, all tied to this global Agenda 21. So they wanted to take the mayor's power away because they were very ticked off that they lost the election. So they proposed this ordinance, and I opposed the ordinance, of course, as well did our action committee. There were 16 people speaking on it. There were four people who were in favor of Feline's proposal to do this ordinance, and the rest of the people, I believe there were 12 others who stood up and said no, that Mayor Wood was reelected, and this is just a big power play, and it is. All these guys are in bed with these giant developers, and they want all this smart growth. They want all this high density. They want all these roundabouts. They want all this nonsense. Well, so I got up and spoke. I only had 3 minutes, and I addressed the rotunda, the dais, and I said, you know, good evening, Mayor and council members. My, you know, gave my name and my address like we always do, and I said, first of all, I do oppose Council Member Feline's proposal for this ordinance because I have all the faith in the world that Jim Wood can represent us with the SANDAG meetings because he and I agree on the circulation elements and the opposing of the Melrose extension. I said, you know, maybe Mr. Wood and I agree on for different reasons, but nonetheless, that's the truth. And then, because we had just had this election and all these clowns in action, you know, people would walk up to me assuming I'm a flaming liberal or a progressive. I said, I'm going to dispel a myth right here and now that I am not a progressive. I align myself with Thomas Jefferson, Von Mises, John Locke, and Ayn Rand. I said, so let's get that out of the way. And then I explained to them, look, I said, look, you have a constituency here. You have a body politic in Oceanside. They elected you. Just do the will of the people. Just listen to them. And then I said, you know, unless your goal is to have a 9% approval rating like the U.S. Senate and House, well, then you're well on your way. And I said, but then I urge you, just do the will of the people. And then I said, thank you. And I left. I got applause and actually got some chuckles out of the dais. But, you know, it doesn't matter. They still voted against us. There were, like I said, overwhelmingly three-fourths of the people who spoke were against this stupid ordinance. Now they're forcing the mayor to hire legal counsel and fight them in court. So I hope he wins. I absolutely do. So what I have done, because I'm so incensed about this Agenda 21 in ICLEI in my town, Mary Baker put something on her website, and I sent it to Bill Strong, and he has a copy of it. And anyone else who wants it, I'll try to get it to him. By the way, Robert, I don't have your email, so I need to get that.
Just change it to rscapital11 instead of rises at comcast.net.
Okay, wait. Comcast.
.net.
That's .net.
Now.
Okay, I'll check it and try to change it so I can get this stuff to you. Okay, thank you so much for that one. And so this package basically talks about alternatives and I read it on the air last week. Rod was privileged because he was in the chat room and on the air with, you know, on the air listening about the facts of the carbon emissions, et cetera, and how these things affect people. So this package next week will be on the desks of all five people, which in the five of that dais is includes the mayor. So my cover letter for this package explains I'll have their name up there from Linda Sills, dear council member or mayor. I wanted you to see this report put together by some people who are fighting to protect individual property rights. Whenever you make decisions on the general plan or roads, open space, or improvements, please consider the unintended consequences of your actions. The CARB, California Air Resources Board, SANDAG, and other agencies which are trying to reduce carbon emissions are being mandated by Sacramento to do so. The organization I have addressed in the past, called ICLEI, is an international body doing the will of the UN. All of the general plans throughout the United States in cities who are involved with ICLEI are identical. Some of the original cities have kicked ICLEI out of their towns. You need to examine closely the outcomes on private property when adopting these measures, no matter how much money is dangled in front of you. If you do your homework, you will see who is behind this and what they hope to achieve. What good is a road or a high-rise, low-income settlement when it results in no freedom, no private property, and by 2050, a totalitarian control of all of us by the state? And then I gave them two separate, one is Rosa Curie's Democrats Against Channel 21 website and Tom DeWeese's AmericanPolicy.org, and I'm going to urge them strongly to go to the YouTube site with my friend Heather Gass up there, who also works with Rosa in the Bay Area. She did an hour video. It's called How Sustainable Development Affects Our Cities. I posted it on Facebook in several places. There were people that I didn't even know writing to me through Facebook saying, could you please post items for us? And I said, absolutely. So I have done those things for these folks. This letter went out there as well. So these are the things that we have to fight. And Glenn Beck knows about it. He's published his book. People are getting free copies. People are going out buying 3 and 4 copies, making sure their city council has one, their friends have one. It's amazing. And Rod says, FT says, wow, great job. It sounds like Rosa struggles. Well, yeah, she does. She's amazing warrior. You're welcome, Rod. I have to keep fighting. I've got several people here in San Diego, all through San Diego County, from Chula Vista all the way up to here in Oceanside. There are several groups, the Vista Tea Party, Tri-City Tea Party, Stop Taxing Us. There's Oath Keepers. There's so many, many, many folks. There's several. There's Americans Protecting Property Rights, which is our 30-people task force going out doing what I'm doing. People have their own websites now. They're going to meetings. They're screaming. They're doing it. They're trying to wake up others. In January, I will be speaking publicly in front of Action Committee. I will be speaking publicly in front of Tri-City Tea Party because I've already put my bid in for that, and they said absolutely they would give me 10 or 15 minutes, and I have a great presentation. And once my teeth heal and all that stuff, I will be taking my case privately to the three Troika, whom I don't like, but since they consider themselves Republicans, they're going to hear about Agenda 21, and it's going to be right in their faces, believe me. And I'm going to lay it out just like I did for the mayor a few months ago. I didn't get a whole lot of response from him because he just thinks it's a conspiracy theory instead of a fact. Well, by the time I'm done with these guys, believe me, they're going to know where I stand. And I just wanted to thank you, FT, everyone, for joining. And the guest in the chat room, I'm going to do my little biblical thing because I need some help from the Lord. I have been praying like crazy ever since this election and long before. But this particular piece is from 2 Corinthians, and this is chapter 3, and it is, no, sorry, 4, chapter 4, verses 6 through 18. And I hope you bear with me because we all need this. And it said, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, so true. This was actually part of the second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians. So we'll go on. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Boy, does that feel right today. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which have live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but thou, our outward man, perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And boy, truer words were never spoken on that one. And I believe Jesus had mentioned that several times in his teachings. So I just wanted to give everybody a little hope in these every time I do a show, because I think we all need the uplifting words of our Lord and Savior. And I've been writing my Christmas cards, and on the outside envelopes I put Laus Deo, which means praise be to God, and then inside I put the Savior is the reason for the season. So I let people know how I feel. And I'm going to be saying Merry Christmas this season, and you know, that's it. I refuse to say Happy Holidays. So there you have it. The other thing that I've gone through, this book is just, the more I read it, the more I can't even believe that this was written in 1933, and it's so true today. Hayek's Road to Serfdom, and there's a couple places in here. In fact, the cliff notes and the footnotes are just astounding with the history, talking about Germany and after World War One and what happened during Hitler's time. It's just, you guys got to read this book. I'm not kidding. It's Road to Serfdom, and it's not that expensive on Amazon, believe me. That's how I get all my books. I just buy four at a time, and then you don't have to pay for shipping. Anyway, so this says, from the book, thus, the more we try to provide full security by interfering with the market system, the greater the insecurity becomes. Oh, yeah, you think. And what is worse, the greater becomes the contrast between the security of those to whom it is granted as a privilege and the ever-increasing insecurity of the underprivileged. Sounds like today. And the more security becomes a privilege, the greater the danger of those excluded from it, and the higher will security be prized. As the number of the privileged increases, and the difference between their security and the insecurity of the others increases, a completely new set of social values gradually arises. It is no longer independence, but security which gives rank and status. The certain right to a pension more than confidence is his making good, which makes a young man eligible for marriage, while insecurity becomes the dreaded state of the pariah, in which those who in their youth have been refused admission to the haven of a salaried position remain for life. This is all central planning, and this is what's going on now. The general endeavor to achieve security by restrictive measures tolerated or supported by the state has in the course of time produced a progressive transformation of society, a transformation which, as in so many other ways, Germany has led and the other countries have followed. this development has been hastened by another effect of social teaching, socialist teaching, the deliberate disparagement of all activities involving economic risk and the moral opprobrium cast on the gains which make risks worth taking, but which only few can win. Yeah, we can not blame our young men when they prefer the safe, salaried position to the risk of enterprise after they have heard from their earliest youth the former described as the superior, more unselfish and disinterested occupation. The younger generation of today has grown up in a world which, in school and in the press, the spirit of commercial enterprise has been represented as disreputable and the making of profit as immoral, where to employ 100 people is represented as exploitation, but to command the same number as honorable. Older people may regard this as an exaggeration of the present state of affairs, but the daily experience of the university teacher leaves little doubt that as a result of anti-capitalist propaganda, values have already altered far in advance of the change in institutions which has so far taken place. The question is whether by changing our institutions to satisfy the new demands, we shall not unwittingly destroy values which will still rate higher. It's amazing how this was so brilliant. These people like von Mises and Hayek, I mean, they just totally got it. And they wrote about it in a time when all hell was breaking loose. This is one that's so current for today, and this, again, was still written in 1933. It says, we must here return for a moment to the position which precedes the suppression of democratic institutions and the creation of a totalitarian regime. And this is a lot of this is explaining why the worst get on top, like how Hitler got all the worst things out of society to do his bidding and his evil deeds. In this stage, it is the general demand for quick and determined government action that is the dominating element in the situation, dissatisfaction with the slow and cumbersome course of democratic procedure, which makes action for action's sake the goal. It is then the man or the party who seems strong and resolute enough to, quote, get things done. Oh, does that sound like Zero? Yeah, it does. Who exercises the greatest appeal. Strong in this sense means not merely in numerical majority. It is the ineffectiveness of parliamentary majorities with which people are dissatisfied. What they will seek is somebody with such solid support as to inspire confidence that he can carry out whatever he wants. Sound familiar? It is here that the new type of party organized on military lines comes in. And then it goes on to talk about the hell that was created under Hitler and Stalin, and more necessarily in Hitler's time, because that's where he was coming from, about Germany. Rod says, our values have already been sold for most people. They sold them too cheap. Well, yes. What I think is going on is everything that I read in these history books comes to light. You guys are connecting the dots here. So, in other words, everything that needs to be known is not known by the 51% that reelected that miserable piece of you-know-what. And I have said this before, and I'll say it again. In 2008, they got their chancellor. In 2012, they got their Führer, because they have voted for communism and tyranny, and they're so stupid, but it hasn't hit them yet. Because one of my friends I talked to on the last weekend asked me, why is everybody acting like everything's just perfectly okay and normal? And I said, because it hasn't hit them like the brick wall yet, and it's going to hit them very soon. And then they're not going to get any sympathy from me, and they're going to get a huge, big, fat, I told you so, and thanks a lot. Believe me, I'm done. I'm not playing this game. You know, what say you, Robert?
It's amazing how our dictator in chief is going to let it go of the fiscal cliff. himself. He's going to let it go. He knows it as well as I do. And so he can't tolerate Syria using chemical warfare on their own people. What is he doing to us mentally is my question.
You're going to have to speak.
I think it's the same thing, don't you?
Well, here's what's going on with the moron with the foreign policy. He's very silent on this Egyptian uprising right now because he was very silent on the Green Movement in Iran back in a year and a half ago? This Leviathan in office is on the wrong side of everything. He hates this country. If people could just get that through their heads, they might have an inkling of understanding as to what's to come. This guy loves the idea of Agenda 21. He loves the idea of open borders and NAFTA and all this and UNIDO and all the rest of this garbage. The man is evil. He and Soros and the rest of them are systematically, incrementally, day by day, destroying this country financially, socially, morally, education, energy, you name it. They're doing it. They're overloading the system. Yeah, he's on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood. As Rod Luke says in the chat room, his administration, he's parading those guys in and out of the White House. He's got aides. Hillary's got, Anthony Weiner's wife in there. She's a Muslim. They all have ties. He's got all this stuff going on. They're all on the wrong side because they want it that way. They think that they're going to be the ones who are at the top, and they will be still left alive, and they will be ruling this planet as the global elitists. I got news for them. I just saw, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. If you guys can find it on YouTube, and I don't know the man's name, and I know it's on Facebook, that he was a KGB operative who, of course, got out of Russia back in the day, and this is a 25-year-old piece of film, video, and he defected, came to the West, and he warns people about there's nowhere to go, you guys. This goes down, that's it. There is nowhere to escape. He says, I got to escape to here. He says, once this goes, it's over. You guys, and he explained, just like Hayek was explaining to me about how Hitler got Himmler and all these Eichmann and all the rest of these crazy people, they purposefully looked for the least educated, the most abject, immoral people that they could find, the dregs of society, just like the mob bosses would do. Of course, they'd get some illiterate clown that teach them how to use a gun and, you know, walk around and thump people in the head or knock them off. Yeah, that's what they do. And this guy in with his Russian accent was explaining. Of course, he's speaking English, but he was explaining. He says this is what they do, and they were showing pictures of people like Obama and Hillary and Al Gore and Reid and Pelosi, and you know how they have that fake smile on all the time, that ugly fake smile with their libtardness. And then he said, what they do is they get these people, just like Hitler and Stalin did, and they get them in these high places, and they can smile with that angelic smile and sit there and lie to you with their dark, cold, you know, soulless eyes, and they'll keep doing it until until you're mesmerized, or the people who are uneducated are mesmerized by the lies and the, you know, Pinocchio effect. It's nuts. And this is how this is happening. This guy wrote this book 1933, and it's still true today. Why? Because the same reason that when the founders wrote the Constitution and the Declaration and understood about Bill of Rights and property rights and human nature, you cannot change human nature. The only one who can do that is God himself. Has he chosen to? No. There must be a reason. I'm not going to argue with the Lord. He created us. This is the guy who we look to for everything. Hello and welcome, Doc. Thanks for joining us. You know, people just don't get it. I get so frustrated because of the willful ignorance of, you know, my counterparts who voted for this clown a second time. I only know one or two of them. The ones in action I avoid like the plague. You know, and I'll continue. I will continue to speak the truth. It doesn't matter to me. I can't. You know, and I still commend you on not going for the smart meter, and that's very courageous, and that's exactly what we have to do. We have to stop complying. because every time we bend over and lean forward, as Mao Zedong, that was his deal. Forward, that was Mao Zedong. This is where the creep got it from. You know, it's disgusting, and people still.
Well, did you happen to see the cartoon of it? Did you see that?
Yeah.
Well, what's your take? Are the rich really?
Yeah, he's one of these. Look, here's the thing. You've got a whole cesspool of people in Hollywood who have no brains, who have been indoctrinated by Marx and Engels and the Communist Manifesto and every socialist idea, every pseudo-neocom that's out there, every Democrats for Socialist Nation, whatever they're called now. They have been indoctrinated. Why, I don't understand. Of course, they grew up in the Marxist education system known as the public schools, so they have no hope for learning anything, apparently. They don't read the books I've read. They don't understand any. If you ask, they wouldn't even know who Benjamin Rush was or John Hancock. I mean, even if they looked at the damn signing and saw that John Hancock's was the largest one, and they said, "Why did you sign so big?" And he says, "Because I want the king to see it from wherever he is without glasses." So they don't know these things. They don't know about Paul Revere and that there was a black guy riding north, and as Paul Revere rode west to warn about the British, you know. And these were black free people back in that time. There were several of them. There was a couple of black guys sitting in that boat crossing Delaware with George Washington. Do you think those idiots would know this? They don't know what true capitalism is. Hell, you and I don't either. We've never had it. My mother's never even had it, and she's 90 years old. They've screwed the free market up so bad. People like Ayn Rand and von Mises and John Locke and Thomas Jefferson, they wouldn't only tear their own hair out, they'd be tearing everybody else's hair out down in D.C. right now. You know, they would. And they would start forming lynch mobs for these clowns. I mean, I'm not kidding. Now, FBI
don't take that
literally. It's a history lesson.
You know what I proposed, Linda? Instead of $3 for every spending and $1 for tax cut, I think they should reverse it to $1 every spending and $3 worth of tax cuts and see what happens.
I just spent. I had between 4 o'clock you guys time and 6 o'clock you guys time. Glenn Beck had, he's not on the air right now, but he had Pat and Stu and a few other really cool people. A woman who has written a book about Calvin Coolidge, which there's been many written. And I did do a little bit of studying through my 700 book called Patriots History of the United States. And it did talk about the Roaring Twenties and the Depression before that. That no one talks about because the progressives have erased history as they do. So talking about what they're doing and Boehner, what Boehner's doing, I swear to God, that guy should be thrown in jail. I mean, he's actually using Stalin's own words and purging people from committees because they're too conservative. That guy should be just absolutely censured right now. Absolutely just taken out and put in one of those, what do you call it, stock things where you could throw tomatoes at him. That guy is a disgrace. An absolute disgrace. He should be.
I understand. And there's another person that's been bothering me a lot, too, over the past. His name is Norquist. What does Norquist have to do with all this stuff? Now they're looking at Norquist to solve the problem. I don't know who Norquist is. I don't know anything about this guy.
These moronicuses. I told my mom today. I said 535 of them. They should all be at the bottom of the ocean for at least 2 hours. They'd be useful to the fish. They'd have something to dine on. I'm telling you, I'm done with these clowns. They are ridiculous. We live in an oligarchy right now, and it's not pretty. And Calvin Coolidge did, and when you hear what I have to explain to you, and you know, I'll just keep saying it till people listen. If this were proposed today, there would not be maybe three or four people in the body of the 535 who would even consider what Coolidge did. Although it made sense and it worked and we had the Roaring Twenties, these SOBs do not want to change the status quo because they're going to lose their damn positions, their money, their power, their influence, their wielding of evil on us. What he did, and Harding started it, and then Harding died. Coolidge was sworn in about 3 in the morning with a justice of the peace, no less. He continued Harding's fight for, hey, hot seat, got to hope, love to have you call in because I want to ask you, was that you on Levin last night? Because it sure sounded like you. Anyway, it was awesome. So what he cut the spending by 50%, and it only took him 2 years to do it. He took that 73% rate of taxes on whoever was getting taxed at that rate down to 23%. He took, inside that 2 years, the unemployment rate, you got to hear this, guys, was 1.8%. Anybody who could breathe on a mirror who wanted a job had a job. I mean, let's face it. So I'm going to bring in Mike. Hey, welcome.
Hey, Linda. How you doing? I just woke up. You know, I'm on the midnight to 8 shift, and I just woke up. Oh, crap. Gotta get in. Yes, that was me on the Levin show last night. What'd you think?
You know, it was great, and the problem is he's always got a comeback for you guys, and it's sad because he didn't give you enough time to rebut when he said all the Republicans voted for whatever it was you were complaining about Paul Ryan voting for. And he doesn't let you guys expound on what you need to expound on. That's the shameful part of it.
Well, here's the thing. You know, he's not as far gone as Hannity.
Oh,
you know,
no.
I think if I had time to work on him.
I know.
Because, you know, I don't think he liked the fact that I kind of cornered him. First of all, he still calls himself a conservative.
I know.
But yet he knocks, and rightly so. He knocks the conservatives. Why? You know, it's just funny. Why do people have to feel they need to be under a tent? Right?
Yeah.
They need to be under that left-right tent. You know, why?
I know. It's craziness. Let me finish this one thought. Sure. The other thing that Coolidge did by the time, I think it was within 4 to 5 years of his 7 years or 8 years that he was in, the middle-class families' incomes rose, now this is a good sized percentage, by 37%. You know, it can be done if we go back to principle and we go back to sound monetary, we go back to fiscal sanity. These SOBs right now, Mike, do not care one whit about you and me or the Constitution or anything that's sane or anything that Jefferson stood for or Ron Paul. You know it and I know it, and I'm about done with them all.
Well, absolutely. And the funny thing is, the other night, I flipped on Hannity, because now that I'm, you know, I get up around 7 o'clock at night now, and I don't go to work till midnight, I get to see these bozos again. Hannity played a clip, which I'm going to play Saturday night, of JFK talking about how he called for lowering taxes across the board. I talked about JFK 2 months ago.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you were there because you're there every Saturday night. And you know, I mentioned JFK first, how he slashed taxes across the board. The gross domestic product increased by 5%.
Right. Do you remember? Okay, go ahead.
He brought in, the government brought in more, as they call it, revenue. It's a polite way of saying thievery. They brought in more money by actually lowering taxes because more people went to work. I talked about that 2 months ago. Hannity decides to talk about it Monday night. The hot seat is always the head of the curve.
Tell you something. I know you're not a fan of Paul Ryan, but remember that one debate he had with Box of Rocks Biden? And he brought up Kennedy's name. He didn't get the chance to talk about, I think he said Reagan and then he said Kennedy, and I can't remember if he didn't get a chance to talk about Coolidge, which I wish he had, because that would have even been better. And then Biden, you know, of course, he had to jump on that and say, oh, now you're JFK. You know, he's pulling that old, whoever that guy was that, can't remember his name now, the ugly tall one that did it to Dan Quayle back in the day. And yeah, I mean, he did talk about he did mention it, and then he got stomped on by idiot Joe Biden. You know, it's horrible what goes on.
But Paul Ryan was a mouse that night. He allowed himself to get stomped. Guy was playing Opie Taylor. It made me sick.
It was very disgusting. I'll tell you, I think that I went on my show the following day and said, boy, that stupid idiot Uncle Joe is thanking God I wasn't up there talking to him that night, because he wasn't debating me. Oh, I would have just...
But here's the thing. Here's why this whole thing is rigged, because why... You know, why wouldn't Romney have... Romney should have played clips of JFK in all the battleground states. You see what this guy does? I want to do exactly what he did.
You know, I don't understand any of it, except from what I can see is that, you know, the GOP has got to learn how to spell WHIG, because they're gone. It's what happened today, or what was it, today or yesterday, both days, Glenn talked about it, Hannity talked about it, Levin talked about it. That idiot Boehner, I swear to God, I just...
Did you see how he dismissed those four guys?
Yes, and they were all talking about it. Jim DeMint was absolutely incensed.
Right.
And I think he talked about it, too.
And Linda, and we're supposed to call ourselves conservatives.
This is insane.
Come on.
It's insane. Listen to me. I'm reading my history books. You know, and I got a 650-page thing explaining to me in detail how the Soviets and Lenin and Stalin purged their enemies. And this SOB, Boehner, is purging the people. I'm like, what is wrong with you people?
Well,
what are you doing?
Well, he knows what he's doing. He's doing what Hamiltonian conservatives do.
And I told everybody on the air probably just before you came, I said, that damn Boehner, he should be putting one of those stocks where people can throw tomatoes at him.
And you want to hear a laugh? I was at a Christmas party. Well, I said this on Ron's show Monday. I was at a Christmas party, and, you know, this woman, she's a lobbyist for businesses on the Republican side, and she was praising Boehner.
Oh, my God.
Praise him for what?
Oh, my God. The guy, I'll tell you, that over-tanned, tanning salon pink tie's got to go.
Well,
I'm telling you, what the hell are we doing?
And then after I was on Levin's show, there's a show on BTR. It was late at night before I went to a conservative nation. See, again, the word conservative.
And I
put it to it. Do you believe this? No. Then why do you call yourself a conservative? Well, we have to. We're not liberals. Well, you don't have to. See, we're in an identity crisis. Let's call it what it is. Progressivism is a very nice word for communism.
Yes.
Because there's nothing about... See, when I think of the word progressive, I think of progress, right?
Yeah, now, but they... Well, no, they had to say that so that people wouldn't call them what they are, and that's communist. And that's exactly what it is. And
well, right, because
now,
there's nothing... There's,
the guy you spoke to, I did buy his book, Levin's Liberty and Tyranny, which is a very good read. I read it twice. And I'm telling you, Mike, this is what we are. We are either for liberty or we're for tyranny. And to me, there ain't no two ways about it. There's no middle ground here.
Right, there isn't. And then so if you call yourself a conservative, you're just another socialist. And you're right, Levin didn't like it when I called him out on Paul Ryan. And he wouldn't answer that when I said, well, what about TARP, the bank bailouts, Medicare, sequestration?
Yeah,
he didn't like that. He got irritated.
That's when he said... Many, many Republicans did the same thing.
So what does that mean?
And what you should have said, so that makes it right?
well, exactly. And that's what I said last night on the BTR show. They said, Paul Ryan didn't know that the Democrats were going to screw him. What? What do you mean? What do you mean he didn't know? When have you ever made a deal with the devil and ever come out on top?
No. Like I said, we've got two choices. We've got Thomas Jefferson, or we've got, you know, Mao Zedong, and that's it. I'm done. I can't take this anymore. You know, and I will scream it from the rooftops until they, you know, shoot me on my doorstep when they try to come take my guns away or put me in a FEMA camp. Because it's not happening.
Well, this is why I said on Saturday night on my show, we're Jeffersonian Republicans.
Absolutely, babe. I love it. I think we ought to get a hold of Sarah Palin and say, hey, we got a new idea.
Forget her. Come on, please.
No, you're
she's
right.
a puke.
You're right. Yeah,
she's a condescending phony,
yeah,
like the rest of them. No,
you're right.
There's only one person so far worth his salt, and that's Ron Paul's son, Rand.
I know. You know what? I agree with you because I've seen him, and when he was talking, I think he talked actually. Glenn was talking when he was doing his Restoring Love deal. Rand was there speaking in his blue jeans, talking to the public. And Glenn said on his radio show, he says, you would not believe what Rand said to me in private. He says, and I can't even tell you about it. He says, because he kept asking him, why is this going on? And Rand says, I can't tell you, Glenn. He says, you wouldn't believe what's going on behind closed doors. It's just heinous. And he's fighting against it. And I know Jim DeMint's been fighting for years. These guys, and Mike Pence, they're all good guys. Louis Gohmert, he's trying to do the whole thing. I think Connie Mack, there's several others. Justin Amash, I know he got ousted because Justin Amash was one of the three who voted against H.R. 347. Three
mm-hmm.
people. Three out of this group. Can
That's
you
it.
Imagine?
Just
oh,
three. And for those of you that don't know what H.R. 347 is, if you go and protest in front of politicians where the Secret Service are, you could
yep.
be hauled off as a felon. At least
oh,
a
yeah.
year in prison.
And
so much for the First Amendment.
Yeah, there's a petition going around to go against that, too, to try to repeal that nonsense. I signed it today. And thank you for helping me. I did. When I got that from Rick Santorum in my
oh,
inbox
yeah.
on CRPD, we did it, man. We did it. Because I sent it to every Facebook, everybody in my group in San Diego, and they did the same thing. And I told them, when I emailed them, I said, look, I just did this through Skype, and I got right through. And, man, you guys can do the same thing. Please. I said, send it to everybody in your inbox. And they did, and it worked. And that, you know, we can do this. We got.
But, you know, Linda, I'm forever the cynic. Because I'm thinking to myself, what if it wasn't that important to them and they just threw us a bone, you know? What about the small arms treaty? This petition's
yeah, I know, that
out there.
Anytime we defeat the UN, I'm happy. No, the small arms, I'll tell you something. I don't even know if you know this, but there's got to be six, probably at least, I can't even imagine the amount of actual numbers of firearms in the hands of decent people in this United States. I mean, we outnumber them. And if everybody, and I think there's a lot of, and probably the people who voted for Gary Johnson, the others who voted for Romney, completely, basically, gun-wise, outnumber the dumb libtards who, you know, voted for their Obama phones and their own demise. I don't think anybody stands a chance against us. I'm not kidding. Because
but how
guys,
many? But how many are really willing to pull the trigger when the Marines or the National Guard show up at the door?
Because I don't think it's going to be the National Guard. I think it's going to be the UN troops and his brown shirts that he's got. He's got minions everywhere. He's got them. Yeah, you remember that deal when he was in 08 talking about, I need a well-funded civilian army? Yeah,
yes.
He's got them. Okay, he's got DHS. He's even got the damn IRS loaded up with ammo.
Oh, the Social Security office in Seattle has over 200,000
yeah.
hollow points. What's that all about?
Oh, yeah, they got millions of rounds now. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely disgusting. I can't believe. Look, there's plenty of oath keepers. We've got 100 constitutional sheriffs in this country. There's more coming on board. People are freaking bailing. I mean, even my stupid Union Tribune newspaper the other day, it had, I think I mentioned this, Brown is, you know, it's a cartoon, one of the editorial cartoon. Brown's like, oh, thank you for raising your own taxes, you know, like the liberal he is. And then there's another guy, like another pundit pointing this way to Texas.
See, no, that's another word.
That.
See, you touched on another word. You called Brown a liberal.
Well, see, no, he's a communist.
See,
yeah, he's a communist.
Yeah, see, there's nothing liberating about
yes.
the Liberal Party. They want to kill babies on demand.
I know. Oh, my
and,
God.
And
oh my God.
The only freedom of speech they believe in is when it's their own.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is – the double standard is beyond.
So the identity crisis – and the same thing with the conservatives. They're nothing more but the kinder, gentler socialist party. That's just what they are.
Yeah.
Communists.
Yeah, I'm calling. That's what the progressives are. They're very evil.
They're communist.
We got to start using the proper words. Yeah, the right terminology. Absolutely.
And
we
try to tell this to Levin, and I think I touched a nerve, but you know, too bad. I'm going to call him again.
Good for you. Good for you.
And see if he'll let me in.
And just make sure that you frame your argument the best you can, because the man does study the Constitution, but you know he's got a little bit of brainwashing going on there, you know, with this Republican deal. And,
well, no doubt, because he still calls himself a conservative.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Sometimes.
But he knows conservatives mean nothing to the Constitution. Nothing.
Not anymore.
And then he tried to flip me, saying, "Well, you know, it's a language barrier." No, it isn't.
No.
It is what it is. You either are or you're not.
Yeah. No, it's not language. No, this is when you look at the Hegelian dialectic. Look. I've said this before because after I finish reading certain books, and I'm not even done with the ones I have in front of me. When I look, everything that Ron has given me, because he's been doing this for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Rowland, who's amazing with her stuff. That woman is so well read. I can't live long enough to read that many books. Mm. And she gets it. And everything she talks about with understanding how to connect the dots, looking at what has happened in history, looking at the ideology, looking at all these evil things. Evil is patient. These guys have been doing this for 130 years, Mike. I'm like 5 years into this, okay? Mm. And after the idiot got elected as chancellor in 08, if I stood up, I'm only 5'4", but they would go up over my head if I stacked up the books I've read, and some twice. I'm absorbing as much as possible. I'm reading them on the air. I'm writing blogs about it. I'm doing everything because I need to know this. How do I tell you the truth if I don't know it for myself? You know,
I think it's very easy to see now. You're either a Jeffersonian or you're a Hamiltonian.
Yeah.
Take your pick. And on the left, you're a communist. And you're a baby killer. No more mincing words. Liberal and progressive. No.
You're
a communist.
Go ahead, Robert.
You know what I don't understand, Mike? You know?
Hmm?
What I don't understand is this. They were condemning 4 years ago about people being in debt, the credit card debt, you know, at $10,000, and that ruined the banking system, right? And what bothers me is they're doing the exact same thing what these people did abusing the credit cards, and they're making a joke out of it. They think it's a joke. That's what galls the hell out of me.
Well, Robert,
you know,
when
I'm like that.
When you deal with the financial situations, and if you go to Locke on Mises, Ayn Rand, Hayek, and then you talk about Jeffersonian principles and the gold standard, and you can talk to Ron Golden, who's not here tonight, I'm telling you, in fact, this is like 2 years ago when Frank Winkle was still on and Philo was on, and these guys, Ron and them, man, they were just nailing it, explaining financial stuff. I'm still trying to learn it. That's why I'm reading everything I can about it. This is evil. Taking us off the gold standard twice, which Nixon did, and so did FDR, this is bad. Why do you think your gas prices are so high? People don't understand economics. They're sitting around. They've got their heads so firmly implanted.
Gas isn't just high because of that. It's because oil is thought of as a commodity, which I disagree. It's a necessity.
Yeah,
not like soy or gold or silver.
I know.
It should be off the speculative market. And what happens is it's not so much OPEC. It's Wall Street saying, there's an oil spill. Oh, we need to raise prices.
There's
a problem in Libya. Oh, we need to raise prices. And OPEC says, you think a barrel should be $90? Oh, okay. We'll make it $90. That's what you want to pay for it.
It's
okay,
pretty crazy.
It is.
I know.
If the government was legitimate, all you have to do is take it off the spec market and say, you know what? It's going to be $2 a gallon. Mobil, Exxon, go F yourself. Case closed.
Yeah.
Done.
It's pretty crazy. You know,
it could be done tomorrow. But,
well,
how it works.
Yeah, what we have is we don't have what we call capitalism or a free market because we have corporate fascism. and the cronyism. And any time you start embedding, whether it's religion with government or business with government and the, what they call public-private partnerships, and any time you start marrying these people, you have a lot of problems, and it's throughout history. I've got I'm reading them on the air before you came on. I'm telling you, it was so – it jumped off the page at me because it was exactly what Obama has been talking about since he started. You know, I want to get things done. This book was written in 1933, which says the same thing. Yeah, by executive fiat. That's what's going on. This SOB thinks he's a dictator. Well, I got news for that little Hugo Chavez. Somebody needs to, I don't know what, but it's
well,
he is a
dictator because he's allowed to. But you know what, though? The Congress is just bowing. They're just
letting
them go. Again, I ask the American people, why do you still want to stay under that fake two-party tent?
I know.
I mean, I think people just have a need to belong to something. I mean, even Mark Levin's theme song, think about it, by Linkin Park, Somewhere I Belong. I mean, does Levin have that incessant need? He's got to stay under that left-right tent, as Ron says, that left-right paradigm. You know, why?
Yeah.
If you need to belong to a group, folks, you better make sure the group jives with you. And if it doesn't, have the stones to walk away.
Yeah, you know, that's why I joined. It's called the Huevos in California.
I mean, grow some. Grow some coconut, will you?
our group is called, for the Anti Agenda 21 crowd, is called Americans Protecting Property Rights because, you know, when you go back to, I mean, you can go to any lengths, you can look at any aspect of what we're talking about. When you start taking away the person, the property, the sovereign, you're going against God, let me tell you. And I'll fight this to my death. And, you know, I pray that I can whip that shotgun out someday and just take down some UN troops because they ain't taking me to no FEMA camp.
Well, like it says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 13, and I'm roughly paraphrasing, that we all have a right to eat and drink after a hard day's work under the sun. It's
absolutely
a gift from God.
Oh, yeah.
Chapter 3, verse 13.
You know, Mike,
And communism takes that away from us.
Oh, yeah. He gives us so many gifts, and we must understand how beautiful and powerful he is. And he does have the last word. And you know, the only thing that keeps me going is someday these little SOBs are going to have to answer to him for a long time.
Oh, yes, they will. I like how you mentioned Agenda 21. So I was on this beat because everybody's on the Reagan kick. And again, Levin didn't give me enough time, but I'm going to try because Levin's on the Reagan kick.
Uh-huh.
Tesler on his show.
I know.
Socialism is not an option. He's on the Reagan kick. And on this conservative show thingy, nation thingy, these two ladies were on the Reagan kick. And I said, did you ever hear of UNIDO, United Nations Industrial Development Organization? No. Did you ever hear of Agenda 21? Oh, yeah, I heard of that one. Well, UNIDO was a precursor to Agenda 21, which the Rio Summit was a precursor to that, and a precursor to the Rio Summit was UNIDO, and Reagan founded it, and it was global redistribution. What do you think of that, ladies?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't want to go into that now. I think we should play a Christmas song. Yeah, I bet. Merry Christmas. This is what I'm talking about.
I got a couple minutes. Yeah, I know. Oh, I'm so glad you've done your research because there's so much to learn out there, Mike. I mean, I got 60 seconds. Robert, say goodnight for us.
Well, I said, everybody, just keep your chin up. There's a lot, that's all we can do is keep your chin up.
Thanks, Robert, for joining us.
Don't get stressed out over this stuff.
I know. Mike, what's your final thought?
That's what they're trying to do.
Well, my final thought is I'll see you Saturday night. Got a whole
absolutely
bunch of stuff. And,
yes.
And I'm going to call Levin again, probably, you know, early next week or whatever. Oh, I got to stay on him while I can.
Oh, yeah, while you can. Love you guys. God bless. I'm going to play
have
a little
fun.
Christmas
thank you
music. Thanks so much. Thanks, everyone.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Let heaven lead you, fill the air, let every heart sing.